Parsha describes tragic Mechiras Yosef. Something that Am Yisrael is continuing to pay the price for. Pinchas Karitzer makes a fascinating ha'ara on the event leading up to Mechiras Yosef. You know that Yaakov had sent Yosef, Vashleichacha Aleihem, I sent you to them. He sent him on a mission. Then he was looking for the brothers. Yosef was looking for the brothers. V'yamseu ish v'neitoa basada. He was found the man. He came across the angel Gavriel as he was being towed, as he was wandering into the field. The last thing that Yosef and Yaakov learned together was the parish of Egla Rufa. We know this for when they returned, when they reunited in Mitzrayim. Yaakov has sent ahead a galos wagons as a reference to Egla Rufa. And Yosef was so elated when he saw the Agalos, he was reminded of the last thing he learned with his father Yaakov. The Sugya of Egla Rufa. We learn from the Sugya of Egla Rufa the importance of being melave, the importance of escorting out a guest. The Egla Rufa is a situation where they find a dead body between cities and they don't know who is responsible, who's held accountable. And it's the closest city that needs to bring the Egla Rufa because they do not provide the care, the protection, the love for this guest. But if one is milava, a person escorts a guest from the city, there's a certain protection, a certain hatzalah, a certain bracha that surrounds such a person. And this city did not provide that levaya. They didn't provide that hatzalah. So asks Reb Pinchas Karitzer in the Imre Pinchas. So Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef, and the Lashon Vashleichacha, he points out from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in the spot, that he was Melava Yosef. He escorted him out to this journey, to this mission to find his brothers. So how come it didn't work? How come it didn't protect Yosef? If a Levaya escorting a guest out, escorting a person out onto a Shlichus, it protects him, where did Yosef go wrong? How come he fell into this trap? How come he was thrown into the boar? He was sold down to Mitzrayim. Explains that sometimes each of us are on a mission, on a journey, the journey of our lives. On a mission to find something, to find MS, to find closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dveikus Bashem. Sometimes we're on a mission to make parnasa, and we lose focus. We go off course. We look back at our lives, at our mission, and we wonder, are we proud of our accomplishments? Are we proud of the big house that we built, the fancy car that we drive, the fancy suits and shoes that we wear? We look back at the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the new resolutions we took upon ourselves. Are we continuing to do those things? Are we staying on course? Are we davening better like we davened during Yom HaNarayim? We said this year is going to be better. This year I'm going to read from a sitter. I'm going to pronounce each word and taking a break in between each word, or maybe each pasuk, each sentence. We said this year I'm going to do more chesed, help out the shul. I'm going to help out the community organizations. Are we still staying on course? I said this year I'm going to be part of a chavrusa, part of a chabura, part of a shir. Are we still going to those shirim? Are we still staying committed to the chavrusa? I'm on a certain endeavor in Gashmis. Say, my boss gave me a certain job. Am I staying focused? Am I staying on course to get the job done, to complete the task at hand? Sometimes the missions we try to go on are not for us. And sometimes they are, and we have to stay on course. But along the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us signs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in certain ways. In certain messages he sends to us that we should be staying on course to give us chizuk, to give us encouragement. And sometimes he discourages us from taking certain actions, taking certain missions on. It could be in Ruchnius. A person wants to be part of Daf Yomi, and sometimes he could feel the encouragement that this is the right limud for him. And sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu could send messages to discourage him. Those messages don't come in the form of a person of the Yetzer Hara, a person not waking up on time, wanting to sleep more. That's not the message from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To be able to discern when it's from the Yetzer Hara, when it's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu, often, a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages. He's telling us when to stay on course and when to restart. We have to open our eyes up. We have to pay attention to these signs. It's not an easy thing. It requires emunah bitachon that Kadosh Baruch Hu is actually speaking to us. It also requires common sense, a little seichel to understand the different messages. Around 10 years ago, my wife and I were ready to move out of Queens and buy a house in Passaic. We committed ourselves to move to Passaic. It was frum enough. We had our friends there. It was close to my parents. It was far from my in-laws. It was everything perfect. And we spent months and months looking at houses, and nothing came up. It wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right price. And finally, the perfect house came up. The amount of bedrooms and the amount of space was perfect to what we needed. The location was perfectly situated near the shul we wanted to daven in, near the friend we wanted to be near. The price was exactly what we were willing to spend. And we went under contract on this beautiful house in Passaic. And then we invited the inspector down, and we wanted to save money, so we almost said, what's the big deal with the inspector? They're just going to say every problem. That's not really a problem, we were told. And we almost didn't go with the inspector. And the inspector came down and said that we have an underground oil tank that spilled. And we have termites in the house, and problem after problem after problem. We took that as a big sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to move to Passaic. And so we moved to my in-law's house and eventually ended up here in Woodmere. Remember one summer I came back from Eretz Yisrael, my Shana Aleph, and I was so excited. I was finally a staff member in Camp Morasha. And Baruch Hashem, I was a good basketball player, and I was very excited to be part of the staff team, very chashiv to be part of the Morasha basketball staff team. And I knew the coach well also. I was, in the humblest of ways, I was qualified to be in the basketball team. I knew the coach well, Rabbi Storch, who had been a counselor of mine when I was a camper. And he was the coach. And where it turned out, my cousin was getting married. I had to go back to New York. And that's exactly when the trials were planned. And I told Rabbi Storch that I'm going to be missing them. If he could consider me, he says, of course you'll be on the team, not a problem. And so I was excited. And when I came back, I checked the list just to see my name on the list of who made the basketball team. And as I'm looking down, 15 names, my name is not on the list. And I, deep down, I knew that he forgot about me and he would have put me back on the team had I told him. There's also some level of doubt that maybe I didn't deserve to be on the team. And instead of saying something to Rabbi Storch, I took that as a sign coming fresh back from Eretz Yisrael that maybe I shouldn't be, I don't want to say wasting time, but I shouldn't be spending so much time playing basketball each night. And I took upon myself that summer to learn a night seder. I wasn't playing learning night seder that summer, maybe a couple times here and there, and I learned Maseches Tainis that summer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages all the time, as long as we are aware of the messages. Says Rav Pinchas Karitzer that Yosef Tzadik was given messages along the way. But he was Toa B'derech, he was wandering in the fields, he was Toa B'seda. He wasn't paying attention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell him, don't go. Sometimes you're sent on a mission, even with a Levaya, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to turn back around. And when you don't pay attention to those simanim, to those messages, then a person becomes vulnerable to the elements, vulnerable to whatever forces are out there to endanger us. He says this is exactly what happened in Parshas B'Shalach. When Am Yisrael was left, they exited the big exile from Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk describes how Klai Yisrael was stuck in the Midbar between the Yam Suf and the Mitzrayim behind them. They were Nevuchim Ba'aretz, Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz. They were stuck in the land. So why does it say Nevuchim? It says in Pinchas. Further, The Gemara tells us that Pyro himself was Milave. He was Milave Am Yisrael. He escorted them out. B'shalach paras ha'am. B'shalach means he sent them out like Yaakov said to Yosef. He was Malave Am Yisrael. If he was Malave, then how come they weren't protected? How come they were stuck between the Yamsuf and the Mitzrayim? They should have been saved. Says Rav Pinchas Karitzer, because they were Nevuchim Hein Ba'aretz. They were Toa Basadeh. When they had that Levaya, they were protected. But the moment they were Nevuchim Ba'aretz, the moment they lost focus and sense that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is being mashkiach over them, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching over them, the moment you lose that trust, that bitachon, so then you're in danger. Paro and Mitzrayim realized that they were nevuchim ba'aretz, they were lost in the land. They weren't feeling the hashkacha of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, now's their chance, they're now vulnerable. The nevuchim ba'aretz, the toa basadeh. And when we go on our missions in life, on our journeys, our endeavors, we have to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us in different ways. He's sending us signals to do or to not do something. There are reasons why Kadosh Baruch Hu does things to us, and we have to open up our eyes and understand. There's a reason why He sends us certain places, why He doesn't send us to other places. Says the Chasam Sofer an amazing thing. Ramban already points out that Yosef was given certain simanim along the way and he ignored them. What were these signs? Says the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, the different Amoraim would rely on different simanim. They rely on different signs that would send them to indicate to them whether their particular endeavor would be successful or a failure. Shmuel, we're looking at the Sefer. Open the Sefer Torah like a girl, a gra, and they learn from the Pesukim dictating to him what he should do or what she should not do. Rabbi Yochanan would rely on a yunuka, if a child would say a pasuk, rely on a person. And Rav would check a mivra based on the transportation, whether it was an easy path or a hard path. If it was an easy way, if there were no bumps along the road, that indicated that it was a good path to take. So either you check by transportation, you check by a safe, or you check by a person. So says the Chasam Sofer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent three different messages to him. And he ignored all three. He sent him the message of traveling, of transportation. He was Toa Basadeh. The fact that he was wandering and couldn't find the brothers, that should have been the first sign Yosef turned back around. B'Sifra, what was the last thing he was learning? The Sefer Torah, he was learning about the Egla Rufa, which talks about the dangers of traveling alone. He should have understood, don't take this mission. And thirdly, the Yanuka, the person, he saw this Ish standing there asking, are you looking for something? That was an indicator, you're not going to find what you need to get. These were three signs HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to Yosef at Tzaddik, and he ignored each one of them. Simply because he was Toba Sadeh, because he just wasn't paying attention to the sign HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending. Each one of us are in various journeys in life, various endeavors, and we don't pay attention to the sign sometimes. Zemaisa, the Chozim Lublin. And there's one Erev Shabbos where he was traveling, and for some reason he was traveling by himself without a whole entourage of Hasidim. And the Shabbos was coming closer, he ended up spending Shabbos in a small village. And when he realized which village it was his childhood village, the city, village he grew up in. And he knew that there's a certain reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu had sent him to this particular village where he grew up. He wasn't wearing anything special. He didn't look like the Rebbe. Didn't look like the Chozim Lublin. Went to shul that evening. He sat in the back and waited for someone to come over to him until finally an older gentleman came over and asked if he needed a place to stay for Shabbos. And the Rebbe, the Chozim Lublin, said he needed a place, he needed a place to sleep, he needed a place to eat, and the man was very warm and inviting him to his house. And the Chozim was trying to watch the plan unfold, to try to watch the message unfold. And the meal was a very simple meal. It was uneventful. The conversation was not existent. And the Chozer was curious to see what was the reason he was sent to this village. And the rest of Shabbos was no different. And the Chozer asked, in trying to engage in conversation with the host, he asked the Baal Bas, what he did for a profession, what he did for a job. And the old man said, I'm a woodcutter. But then he spoke about being a shoemaker. And the Chozer understood that there's something that the Baal Bas was hiding. So the Chozer thought maybe this was perhaps a hidden tzaddik. But there was nothing that he observed in this Shabbos table, this home for Shabbos, that seemed unusual, special. And as Shabbos was winding down, the Chozer thought that he would not discover the reason, the mysterious reason why he was sent to this village, his childhood village. And the old man escorted his guest, the Chozer, back to Shul for Maariv. And then when Shabbos came to a conclusion, as the Chozer was about to leave, to head back to his city, this old man began to cry. And it took him some time to gain his composure. The man said to the Chozer, not knowing again who the Chozer was, I admit to you that I have not been completely honest with you when answering your questions about what I did or do for a job. Explained to him that when I was younger, I was a Melamed, I was a Rebbe. I had been a very successful Rebbe. I had enjoyed a very nice reputation. But there's one day that I decided to give it all up. Because one student. There was this young boy who had come to class late. And every time I asked the kid why he came late, it seemed that there was another excuse. And I tried to explain to the boy that children come on time to school. You come to time, come to yeshiva on time. And when the boy was late yet another time, and I had asked him for the reason why he came late, he responded that he had overslept. And the truth was that he was actually helping his mother at home, who had been very sick for a long time. But I didn't know that. And I patched the boy. And the boy held his head in shame. He didn't argue, he didn't protest. And I felt terrible. And in those days, it was acceptable to give a patch once in a while when needed to a young kid. But I never did this. The Rebbe said, a day did not go by that I wish I could see that child once more and beg him for mechila. I've never forgiven myself for patching this boy. Just want to know what became of him. Wanted to be sure that I did not cause him any permanent damage. So the Chozer asked the Rebbe for the name of the child. He told him his name was Yankel. And so the Chozer smiled. The Chozer put his arm around the old man and told him he has no longer to worry. He knew Yankel well, very well. He knew that he became a Yir Shemayim and Erech Layid. So the Rebbe asked, do you promise me? And the Chozer nodded. He promised that he would ensure that Yankel would be mochel him for what he's done. And the man cried once more, but this time the tears of relief and joy and happiness. The next day the Chozer, Rabbi Yaakov Yankel Yitzchak, went back home. Understanding the messenger HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him, why he sent him on this journey. And sometimes we go on missions and we're Torah B'Sadeh, when Nevuchim Heim Baretz, we get lost and don't pay attention to the signs of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should all be Zoche to fulfill those goals, those missions, those endeavors that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to. To pay attention, open our eyes and ears to the signs that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us to. And fulfill our tafka in this world, to be Zoche, the Gula Shem, Ba'amites, Meher, V'Ameinu, Amen, V'Amein.